This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about using God's gift to give Him glory. And Catherine, you along with George and Jen and Verna and Walter Glenn shared that beautiful gift with us and gave glory to God, and we're very grateful. Thank you. So last week in Huntersville, a church was having their first Sunday in Lent service. The members got real excited about this idea of giving things up for Lent. And so one man stood up and said, "I've been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes every day, and I'm going to quit." And the people in the church said, "Amen, brother." So another man caught up in excitement, stood up and said, "Well, I've been drinking 2 6-packs of beer every day, and I'm going to quit." Another member stood up and said, "Well, I've been cursing up a blue streak every day, and I'm going to quit." And the church was saying, "Amen, amen, amen, brother." And an elderly lady caught up in excitement, stood up and said, "Well, I haven't been doing anything, and I'm going to quit that too." Well, this is the second Sunday in Lent, the 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter, plus 4 Sundays. And the problem is, a lot of people think that Lent is about giving up something, at most for those 40 days. Well, what Jesus wants for us at Lent and every time in our lives is not to be so much about giving up something for a short period of time, but letting Him take out of our lives the barriers that stand between us and the marriages and the families and the dreams and the plans that He has for us, and to let Jesus move us to become more and more who it is that He wants us to be, that God created to be, by trusting our lives to Him, letting Him take control of our lives. This, it turns out, is what you want. Because in my response to what do you want to be different in 2015 so we can offer you an extreme or made-to-order makeover, you expressed it this way: "I want to grow closer to Jesus. I want to trust Him more with my life." Well, today Jesus shows us how that can happen for us through the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has just begun His ministry. He has preached His first sermon to His hometown church, laying out His mission for His life. And then He goes out and begins to live His mission in the villages around Galilee. He reaches out and He teaches the Word of God, and He drives out demons from people's lives. He heals people who are sick in their minds and their bodies and their spirits. And one of the people that He heals is Peter's mother-in-law, a man named Simon Peter, who later, as we will see, becomes a disciple of Jesus. Then Jesus goes out to the Sea of Galilee, and He finds Simon Peter, and He challenges him, and today challenges us to grow closer to Jesus, to trust His life more and more to Him. And as He does so, my friends, He shows us how it is that we can grow closer to Jesus, how we can trust our lives more to Him, and what will happen when we do. This is what our Scripture says to us today. One day, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee. The people were crowding around to Him and listening to the Word of God. He saw at the water edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When He had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Nevertheless, because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, and so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." The Message version puts it this way: "I can't handle this holiness. "Leave me to myself." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." So they pulled their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. God's word to us this morning is filled with God's guidance on how it is that we can grow closer to Jesus in our lives, how we can trust him more. It is filled with powerful promises about the blessings and the abundance that flows when we do. So this morning I'm going to lift up three words of guidance from Jesus about how we can go closer to him, to trust him, and to receive the abundance of blessings he promises. They all start with G. Jesus' first guide for growing closer to him is this: go deeper in doing what he tells us to do. You see, you and I, maybe I should speak for myself, we're a lot like Peter. We're in worship, we're in Sunday school, we're in small groups, we do a daily devotional. We know all about the word of Jesus. And we've experienced the power of Jesus taking control of our lives, driving out demons in us, healing lives. That is why we are so powerful and so committed to our prayer requests in this church. We actually believe if you hand something to Jesus, we will be healed, we'll be changed. Yet, like Peter and his partners that morning, there are so many ways that our lives just keep on coming up empty. There are so many ways that we fall short of what it is that Jesus calls on us to do. So many ways that our marriages, our families, our lives, our futures, our plans fall short of what it is that God created us to be. This reality is what drives your hope for a makeover in your relationship with Jesus Christ and trusting in him. You see, Jeff, if you'll show that next slide, this is us. We're standing in that shallow water with this body language like, "I don't know, Jesus. I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to stay back here where it's safe. Not going into deeper water with you. Maybe just going a little way in our lives." But what Jesus does, he calls us, my friends, to go deeper, to go all the way in, living in his way, guided by his word, so that he takes over, so that our lives will be like this. Seeing this beauty that God offers us, if only we will go deeper. I want to offer you a worldly example about what our choices are and what the consequences are of our choice. I want you to see yourself as a basketball player. Can you all do that? Some yes, some no. Come on, Jane. You're a basketball player in a special league, I got to admit. But you're a basketball player, okay? And your coach is Coach K. Now, while we're in church, I want you to put aside the fact that he works for the Devils. Other than that, he's your coach. And so you're watching Coach K and how he's telling his players what to do, and they're doing it. And boy, they're doing amazing things, and their lives are blessed, and they're blessing the people around them because they're all in with what their coach tells them to do. And Coach K turns to you, and you're standing over here on the sidelines, just barely inside the sidelines, and he says, "Sally, you want to be a great basketball player and be blessed with what it means to be the very best you can be. Here are the things for you to do." And Sally says, Nope. My way is better than your way. Here's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to stand over here, right over here on the side, and I'm not going to touch a ball until somebody comes and hands it to me. Everybody gets out of the way. Everybody stands real still. None of us waving their arms and stuff. And I'm going to do the old basket toss like that. Come over here. That's what I'm going to do because I know better than you. How do you think Sally's going to do when she gets into a real game? How's it going to go? Not so well. We see, that's us. We stand in that shallow water. What we're saying to Jesus is, my way is better than yours. I know how to live my life. You're just intermeddling and trying to make me do something that's way too hard. It takes too much time. And when we do that, my friends, what we do is we give up the life that could have been full of the blessings and abundance that Jesus offers us. You see, Peter was in shallow water when he called Jesus teacher. But when he decided to trust Jesus a little bit and go deeper, Jesus no longer was his teacher. He became his Lord. Are you holding back? Is there any way in your life in which you're standing in the shallow water and saying, going deep as Jesus is calling you to go? Here's how you know. Are you loving everybody in your life the way Jesus loves you? Without any condition? Wholeheartedly. Is your life every day and every circumstance filled with the blessings of Jesus of patience, kindness, gentleness, understanding, compassion? Do you work for peace in every relationship? No matter how tough the other person is. And are you serving the poor, the hungry, the homeless? Are you seeking justice for the oppressed in this community, in this nation, in this world? Is everything you think and say and do, does it have Jesus' name signed to it that he would approve? Do people look at you and know that you are a living testimony to the gospel of Jesus? If you say yes to all of those questions, then you're in deep water. If any of those ways you are holding back from Jesus in your life, then you're standing in the shallow water, my friends, and you're missing on the abundance and the blessings that Jesus promises if you go deep with him. So I want to offer you a real life example about what it means to go deep. An example I'm going to use is the way that so many of you have told me you're standing in the shallow water, and that is in forgiving the people who hurt you. Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Return their evil with good. Two farmers in Canada live side by side. One of the farmers had a very vicious dog. And his neighbor said, your dog is a problem. You need to keep him penned up. The dog-owning farmer said, look, it's my dog. My dog is going to do what my dog wants to do. You mind your own business. One day, this dog jumped the rock wall between the two farms and mauled the 2-year-old daughter of this other farmer to death. The farmer of the daughter cut off all connections with his neighbor, and all the farmers in the community did the same. And they lived in defiant enmity for 2 years. One winter, a fire destroyed the farm of the dog-owning farmer. Destroyed his barn, his equipment, all of his seed. He had little money and no insurance. Basically, he was ruined. One spring day, he looked out the window, and there was his neighbor plowing and planting his field. Hesitantly, he went out and said, thank you. Why are you doing this? And the farmer said, stopping his work, he looked him in his eye and he said, I lost my daughter. I don't want to lose Jesus too. And for 2 years, I've lost him. My bitterness, my anger, got in the way of Jesus. Until I knew that I had to actually do what he said. Forgive you. In return, your evil was good. Because it's not until you and I get back together that I will ever get back together with Jesus. And this morning, as I have been out here in this field, I felt His presence in my life more than ever. It's amazing what happens, he said, when we actually get serious about what Jesus wants to do with our lives. That is going into deep water. Going where only Jesus would ever send you. I don't know what it is for you, but there's something in your life that you're holding back from Jesus. Refusing to go deeper where He wants you to go. So my prayer for you is that this morning you will be honest about that and ask Jesus to take you where He wants you to go. Because if you do, you will grow closer to Him. But in order to go deeper, we need Jesus' second guide for growing closer to Him, which is to get down on your knees and confess. That word confess means to admit the truth. Admit the ways that you have chosen not to go deeper with Jesus. Admit the ways that our culture says Jesus doesn't know what He's talking about. The truth is, my friends, our culture says that Jesus is an impractical dreamer. Forgive your enemies. Love those who hate you. Give what you have so that others will have enough. Jesus doesn't know what He's talking about. You go deeper with Jesus, the world's going to run all over you. But the truth is, there is a life-threatening confession that our Scripture lifts up for us this morning. It's what underlies Peter's confession when he says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." But you notice what comes right after that, because he adds, "For we were astonished at the catch that you gave us." You see, what is happening here is Jesus has forced Peter to face his life. He sees that he's been doing things his way and he's come up empty. Then he takes that step out into deeper water, doing what Jesus tells him to do. You notice he did it reluctantly. Nevertheless, and here's what he's thinking. Well, Jesus, you know, we've always fished at night. Everybody around us, this is what we do. And we came up empty, so maybe this one time I'll try it your way. And then what happens is, he tries it the way of Jesus. And it turns out that Jesus is right. That Jesus actually knew more than Peter. Well, this is a problem. Because what this says is, we can no longer trust in ourselves. What this says is that our lives are no longer going to be predictable if we trust in Jesus. Our lives are not going to be in our control. They'll be in His control. You see, the Message version captures it right. He says, "I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." You see, what we're called to confess is this. I would rather live with my failures, the ways I come up empty in my marriage, in my family, in my life, than to turn over control, Jesus, to you. This is a confession that Jesus needs, that He wants, for us to grow closer to Him. To say, as Peter did, "I am afraid of putting you in charge." But see, Jesus knows what's going on. He says to Peter and to us, "Do not be afraid." Haven't you seen what happens when you go deeper? When you pray, your prayers are answered. When you pray, your prayers are answered. When you forgave as I commanded you to do, That bitterness was lifted out of your heart and your marriage was restored. When you stepped out of your comfort zone and went to East Huntersville, lives were changed, yours more than anyone else's. And when I sat at closure years here, when I accepted my call to change from being a lawyer to being a pastor, putting Jesus in charge instead of myself and Sally in charge, my life is overflowed with blessings. I'm closer to Jesus than I've ever been in my life. You see, what I want you to understand this morning, the evidence is overwhelming that when we put Jesus in control and we follow Him deeper in all the ways He calls us to live, holding nothing back, Jesus will lift us up and give us blessings and come so close to us. So Jesus says, confess it. You're afraid of putting me in charge, but do not be afraid. For if you go deeper with me, I will come and live in you, and your life will be blessed with abundance. For if we confess our fear, Jesus will take our fear away, and He will move us from holding back to going deep. For once our fear is lifted, Jesus will give us a deeper, more exciting purpose for His life. And His purpose is laid out in His third guide for growing closer to Him, which is this: give life, new life to others, and receive new life yourself. Jesus says to Peter and to us, do not be afraid, for from now on you're going to catch people. That word catch is from two Greek words. Actually, one Greek word together, which is zoisgrio. Grio means to take captive, to capture. And zoe, who knows what zoe means? We have a zoe in this church. It means life, living. What Jesus is saying to you and to me, and that is, go and capture people to bring them to life. You see, Peter and James and John immediately left to go deeper. And they went out to catch people. And Jesus says, you know what it looks like to catch people? In case you folks at Meadow Lake don't know, here's what He does. Jesus immediately goes and He heals a leper by touching him. Nobody else would touch this man. And then He goes and he forgives the man of his sins, lifting the sins that paralyzed him so he can walk again and go home. And then He calls a sinful man, Matthew, to come and be His disciple. And he's with a bunch of sinners and says to us, I've come to heal the sick and to give new life. This, my friends, is how we go deeper. How it is we grow closer to Jesus. I don't know what it'll be for you. Perhaps there is some brother or sister out there who needs forgiven of some sin, some unhealthy habit, some addiction that is destroying their life. Perhaps for you is healing the spirit of someone who is downcast and feels cast out. Most of all, Jesus says, if you want to grow closer to me, then go and find the suffering people of this world and give yourself to them and lift them up. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, as you have done it for the least of these, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the sick, the prisoner, Jesus says, that's where you'll find me. That's where I'll come into your life. I want to offer you, in closing, an example of how that happens. I've seen it in my life over and over when I have reached out as Jesus calls us to do, finding Him even more. Sally and I have a friend named David, young man. And I want to offer this to encourage you to go deeper with Jesus, to catch someone for Him. David had a rough life. He had failed relationships, failed jobs. We met David, he was depressed. He was going through the motions with Jesus. He was in worship. He even read the Bible. He prayed to Jesus to help him. But he was going nowhere. Then 3 years ago, a friend in his church called him to go deeper with Jesus, to go on a mission to the Congo, to help start a school for children using his business expertise. Something moved him to go deep, to put away his fear, that Jesus might actually know better for him than he knew for himself. His friends and his parents said, "You really shouldn't go to the Congo. It's a dangerous place." And it is. David went. And when he went, he reached out as Jesus told him to do, to the poor and the suffering. Jeff, you would show, these are the people he reached out to. These children. That was their school. Next slide. This is David smiling for the first time in years as he's meeting the people Jesus called him to meet. Next slide. This is David starting on the move. They're moving from that shanty to start a new school. And this is where the new school was to be built. David found out that Jesus was right. He came back as a different man. His heart is filled with Jesus. His heart is filled with love. His life is filled with hope. He is constantly smiling with that great smile, which we had never seen. He's found meaning and purpose in his life. He's changed his career. He gave up banking, and now he is in a non-profit organization helping other non-profit organizations serve people in need. And because Jesus is now in a new place in his life, he's been back to the Congo 3 more times. He's ready to go back again, and the school is almost done. David witnessed to us. "This is the most important thing I've ever done in my life for myself. I actually did what I'd heard so many times in church, do it for the least of these. And it turned out when I did, Jesus came alive for me." And the interesting thing is, because I trusted him in this, now I trust him in so many other things. It may not be the Congo for you, but there is some way, some person that Jesus is calling you to. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to believe that Jesus is right enough to serve those who need him and give him new life? I hope you will. Because it turns out that David found out the secret, the rest of the story of the footprints in the sand. Y'all know that story? You don't actually. You know just the beginning. So here's how the story goes. You and Jesus are walking through life, and your footprints are making imprints in the sand. Y'all know about this? Yeah, look back and see those footprints. So here's how it starts. So, you know, you got these footprints and you're sort of wandering around. This is when you're in here. You're getting to know Jesus. Learn something about it. You're hearing his word. You're sort of wandering around. Unfortunately, the next slide got deleted. But you know what happens. You got these in the next slide that would have existed. The Holy Spirit removed it by magic this morning. And Doug Cox could not find it to put it back. So, you know, this is powerful work. So, the next slide would have been, there's only one set of footprints. And you say to Jesus, "Well, why is there only one set of footprints?" And Jesus says, "That's when you were suffering. That's when your life was in the ditch, and I carried you." Well, the next thing that happens is, now there are two sets of footprints again. And you say, "What's that, Jesus?" Say, "Well, that's now when we started walking together. You see those fence a lot more firm, and they're side by side, and you're starting to believe in me and trust your life to me. You're starting to grow in your relationship with me." And then, you see one set of footprints again, but these are larger. You say, "What happened? You carry me again, Jesus?" He says, no, I wasn't carrying. You walked with me so much, you began to trust me. Guess what? You began to walk in my footsteps. And you became like me, and I was alive in you, and you were alive in me because you trusted me and stayed with me until you became like me. But then, footstep print. Y'all know this story? This is new, right? Always something new when you come. So these footprints are going everywhere, and you're in dismay. You say, "Oh, Jesus, have I wandered away from you again? Did I stop trusting you?" And Jesus takes you by the hand. He laughs and says, "No, my blessed child of God. That's when we were dancing. We were dancing with the joy that comes when you go deeper with me. And you give up your fear of turning over your life to me. But not happens. Not only are you walking in my footprints, my friend, but we are dancing for the joy that comes when you and I are one. So my friends, I hope that starting again today, you will confess that you are afraid, and Jesus will take that fear away from you, and you'll begin to walk together, and someday you'll be one and you'll be dancing for joy. And today is the day to start that. Because today we come to this table, to this cross. Jesus died on that cross, my friends, for this very purpose. That we have sinned against Him and against each other because we want to do it our way. Today Jesus said, you come to my table, and I will take away from you that fear of turning your life over to me, letting me control your life. You leave that up here, Jesus. You walk out of here with me in a resurrected new life. Someday you're going to be dancing. You know, on that last night before Jesus was crucified, he was trying to think, what can I leave behind so that my friends someday or another way will remember what I did and why I did it? So he offered bread and a cup. The night before he was crucified, he took bread. He blessed it, bringing down the power of God. What we do here today. After he left it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body broken for you. As often you do this, you remember me. You remember what I did, you remember why. And then Jesus took a cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood, shed for you, the forgiveness of your sins. Do this and remember me. Remember your sins of doing it your way. Trying to control your life instead of letting me do it. Remember the joy you give up when you don't turn it over to me. So my friends, come to the table today. Bring up here whatever it is getting in the way of your turning over your control of your life to Him. Walk out of here, walking side by side with Him, someday in His steps, someday dancing for joy. Come, my friends.